12, 1 through 4. Everybody listen up. It's on your bulletins. It's in the good book. And I apologize once again about the monitors, but here we go. All is well. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we need you this morning. We need you always. Thank you for your anointing in this service. Thank you that your will is going to be done in this service, Lord, that nobody will leave here the same way they came in, Lord, but you are firing us up, Lord God, that you are encouraging us, that you are convicting us, that you are guiding, leading, and directing us, and making us the church that you want us to be and the individuals you want us to be. And we love you and praise you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious, amazing name we pray. And everybody in the church said, amen. Give the Lord some praise one more time. So we're back in the book of Hebrews. Oh, and Dalton preached last week, and I heard it was phenomenal. I heard it was great. I have not listened to his message yet. I will get to that. I didn't want to be intimidated coming into this sermon. No, that's the truth. That guy's going somewhere, man. He's all right. He's all right. He's good. But anywho, Hebrews 12, what we have here, we don't exactly know who the author is. We know it's Holy Ghost inspired, Holy Spirit inspired, God breathed. This is the word of God. A lot of people think it's Paul the Apostle. I'm kind of in that camp. I'm big time in that camp. I think it's probably Paul the Apostle, but that's neither here nor there. That does not really matter who wrote it. We know that God wrote it. Anyways, the picture, it's a sports illustration that the author gives us in Hebrews chapter 12. But before we jump back into Hebrews 12, let us remember that Hebrews 11 is what a lot of people call the Hall of Faith or the Great Hall of Faith. Hebrews 11 lists a bunch of Old Testament heroes of the faith, from Abraham, David, Moses, Rahab. There's just a bunch of heroes of the faith. So Hebrews 11, the author's saying, look at these guys right here. Look at these heroes of the faith that put their trust in God. Look what happens, church people, when you put your trust in God and you're obedient to God's word. You can do amazing things. You can accomplish anything that God has allowed to be in front of you. Can I get a witness? So as we start Hebrews 12, the author's pointing back to Hebrews 11, and he talks about this great cloud of witnesses. So here's this sporting picture, an arena, a coliseum, where there's all these people in the stands, these great heroes of the faith, not just Old Testament saints, but Preacher Fred and other people in your life that walk the walk, that have finished their race. Can I get a witness? That are part of this great cloud of witnesses. This great cloud, these people that are spectators, they've already ran their race. They've already finished their race. And here's the picture. It goes further. We are now in our race. We are currently in our race. As Christian believers, we are in our race. Has everyone got the picture so far? And therefore, since we are surrounded by so great cloud of witnesses, so there's all these heroes of the faith that we can go back to and learn from. And, I mean, that's the beautiful thing about Scripture. You know, we can go back and see what happens when this person puts their trust in God. And here's some situation, some impossible situation. And this person says, you know what? I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to do what God says. And we see how God gets him through this trial, this storm, however hopeless it might seem. We see what happens when someone says, you know what? I'm going to be obedient to God's word. I'm going to do what God says and not what I want. I'm going to put myself to the side and I'm going to follow God. And we see where there's those blessings when I deny myself and follow God. So we have all these great witnesses, all these people that we can look back on to, look back to and pull our strength from. Carrying on. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin. So these guys, they ran their race, and there's so much we can learn from them. And then the author says this, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. You know, picture trying to run a race and you got your shoelaces tied together. You know, you ever had someone do that to you and you like fall over? Imagine running a race with a backpack full of bricks, or, you know, you're just not focused on the mission at hand. Okay, you got a mission. The Apostle Paul is trying to, well, the author of Hebrews is trying to tell us, take this thing seriously. Take this thing seriously. It's like what Moses said in Psalm 90. We only have a certain amount of time here, okay? We only have a certain amount of time, and we want to make that count, okay? So, and God can make up the time. I'm just saying that today is the day. If we've been wasting time, if we've been straddling the fence, and Lord knows that I've spent a good chunk of my life, man, living a little bit in the world, a little bit, you know, we just can't do that. You know what I mean? Time is important. Okay, there are people that need us to walk the walk. There's a whole world that needs us, whether they realize it or not. You know, they need this example. They need to see us going through the craziness of the world with our head held high, knowing that we're trusting in the Most High God, that we don't have to freak out or be stressed out about anything. Can I get a witness? Let us also lay aside every weight. So we got these things in our life that aren't necessarily inherently evil things, but they can be a burden, they can be a weight, they can be something that is slowing us down when we're running our race. Like running a race, you know, with a ball and chain on our legs, man. That's a little difficult. Can I get a witness? You know, your friends, your family, your hobbies, these aren't necessarily bad things. I mean, I don't know what your hobbies are, and I don't know what you do with your friends, but these aren't necessarily, we all have things in our life that aren't necessarily bad. But we can make them bad. And what I mean by that is we can make it an idol. We can make something more important to our relationship with God. We put it above our relationship with God. And we can do that with good things. We can do that with our family. We can do that with our mates. You know, we can do it with our jobs and stuff like that. Well, let's look at 1 John 5:21. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. It's pretty simple, right? Little bit of instruction at the very tail end of 1 John. John says, hey, in closing, guys, keep yourselves from idols. Don't let anything be more important to you than your relationship with God. We're always capable of making weights in our life. I know that's some great oratory speech right there. But what I'm saying is, man, we burden ourselves with these things that are not meant to be burdened. Sometimes it's even our past accomplishments. Sometimes it's our past victories. Sometimes it's our hurts and our pains and our regrets from the past. You know? And we carry these weights, and God says, no. You know, the people have hurt us. You know, people have hurt us, and that's a weight. You know? We've hurt people, and that's a weight. You know? Well, God says in Ephesians 4, verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So we got to release those people. And that's a process. I'm not saying it's an easy thing, but we give it to God. When those bad memories come into my head, I mean, I rebuke that nonsense in the name of Jesus. I got the victory over this. I've given it to the Lord. And you might have to do that 10 times in 10 minutes sometimes, man. But you just push that junk away with the power of the Holy Spirit and fill your heart and your mind with what Jesus says. Hold on to God's promises. Philippians 3:13. Now, here's the Apostle Paul. This is the Apostle Paul talking to the Philippian church. And look what he's talking about, because we have these weights in our life, these burdens in our lives that are keeping us, that can slow us down in our race, our Christian journey. Okay, Philippians 3:13. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. I love that. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying I've got it all figured out. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Paul the Apostle's got something figured out, man. And remember, this guy had a heck of a past. Yeah. He had, this guy rounded up Christians. Before he was a Christian, he rounded up Christians, had them go to these trials, had them, you know, he was there at the stoning of Stephen, and it made his little heart smile to see this Christian being murdered, you know, and then he went on rounding up Christians. That's what he did, throwing Christians in the jail, getting them murdered, you know, so he had a past, and he's saying, you know what, I can't let that, the things that I've done, I can't let that destroy my productivity in the future. I can't let that hold me back from, but he let that be something that energized him because he remembered what he was saved from. He remembered what he was delivered from. He says, I'm not going to let that stuff hold me back because Jesus Christ saved my soul. And that means something to me because I was on my way to hell. I was an evil person. I was bound by sin, but Jesus Christ saved my soul. So now, with the remaining time that I have, I'm going to serve him with everything that I have. Can I get a witness? With the weights in the sins, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Like trying to run a race, and you got all these burdens, all these things holding you down. Hey, brother. I didn't even know you were here, dude. Good to see you. I just saw that. Anyways, okay, how are you? Everyone, it's a hip jacket he's got, too. Look, these weights and these sins, go with me to Romans 6:12. Romans 6:12 and 13. This is good. Romans 6:12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. So as a Christian, we don't have to live like we're bound by sin anymore. As a Christian, we don't have to jump up and answer the sin phone when it rings. I know that's super cheesy, dude. There's a sin phone. Yeah. Excuse me, honey. No. But here's the deal, man. We have a new master. I'm a new creation in Christ. I belong to the Most High God. So I don't need to let Satan or the flesh man in, that wants to get into trouble, I don't have to listen to him. I don't have to do what he says. I don't have to try and fit into the world system or try and be something I'm not. Can I get a witness? Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. If something's reigning, it is ruling. And the Apostle Paul, through the leading of the Holy Spirit, says, don't let this stuff rule in your life, man. Like you have the power through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, to say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. Well, I keep sinning. I keep falling because we're making provision for sin, man. We're not preparing ourselves. We're saying, well, if this bad thing happens, then I'm going to go ahead and do this because that, blah, blah. Or whatever, man. We allow ourselves these little allowances that are traps and tricks where we're wrapping ourselves up in bondage and slowing ourselves down in our race. Can I get a witness? Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Verse 13, this is good. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness. Check this out. This is so precious. But present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. Read that again. Present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. That's us. That's me. That's you. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've said, you know what, I'm a sinner, I can't get to heaven on my own, man. I repent of my sins. Jesus, I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. If you say that and you mean that, or you think that, you pray that and you mean that, God the Father hears that and he says, welcome to the family. You know? So present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. Because before you accepted Christ. You were spiritually dead. Before you accepted Christ, you were on your way to hell. That's just how that thing works. We have a choice. Life and death is set in front of us, and God gives us the answer. He's like, here you go. Here's life. Here's death. And I'll give you a hint. Choose life. Go ahead and choose life, please. You know, God says, I made a way for your sins to be forgiven. I made a way. My son died a brutal, agonizing, horrible, embarrassing death so that your sins can be forgiven. God's judgment was placed on him, so we will never have to face God's judgment. What an amazing, beautiful thing. You know, what a beautiful thing. So with that in mind, the fact that my sins are forgiven and I didn't pay for them, Jesus paid for them, my sins are forgiven. With that in my mind, present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. Look, man, we're all running that race. We're all running that race. We're all supposed to be heading in the same direction. You know, don't look at your neighbor and see how far ahead you think he is or how far behind you think she is or whatever. You run your race, and you keep your eye on the finish line. You keep your eye on Jesus Christ, and we stay obedient to his word. And we say, you know, with the amount of time you have granted me here on this earth, I'm going to say no to this temptation that I used to always give into. This temptation that has always hurt and hindered my relationship with the Lord. I'm going to lay that aside, and I'm just going to follow God. I'm going to take his scripture, and I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to do what this scripture says. I'm going to do what it says. Paul's going to be second from here on out, and I'm going to follow Christ. Can I get a witness? Give the Lord some praise. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Talk about being devoted to the Most High God. Not just on Sunday morning, you know. That's kind of easy to do. We get all fired up and everything. You know, but I'm talking about each and every day. Starting that day, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to say no to this temptation. Hebrews 12:2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Because without Jesus, there ain't no salvation. Without Jesus, there is no access to God the Father. Without Jesus, there's no forgiveness of sin. So keeping that in mind, and the author of Hebrews, he's saying, remember that great crowd, that great cloud of witnesses that we can look to and see how they did it. We can learn from their mistakes. We can learn from their obedience to the Lord. But now he's changing the focus from these heroes of the faith to Jesus Christ. He's saying, look to Jesus Christ. Don't forget about those guys, but look to Jesus Christ. Okay, he is your perfect example. We can learn a lot from these other guys, what works out when we follow God, and we can certainly learn what it looks like when someone wants to be rebellious and doesn't follow God, you know, and how that works out. But then he says, look at your perfect example. Look at the template that is set before us that we are to follow. Hebrews 12:2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. See, Jesus was focused. Jesus was focused. He knew what was waiting for him in Jerusalem. He knew that the cross was waiting on him, but he looked through the other side of the cross and he said, I will persevere. I will do this because there is a big joyful thing on the other side of all this. The salvation of all that will come to me. You know, salvation, eternal life, growing. He made a way where there is no way for me and you. He said, that's my goal, to be obedient to God the Father and do what he's called me to do. Whatever that is. And he looked through the other side of the cross. The Apostle Paul said this, Philippians 3:14. He had his eyes on the goal too. He had his eyes on the finish line too. You see, we got to have our eyes set on something, man. You know, you got to focus on something, okay? We got to focus on Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:14, I press on. The Apostle Paul says, man, I'm at this stage in my life. He's in prison when he's writing this. He's in prison. He's encouraging the Philippian church. He's not wasting his time in prison. He's not saying, my life ain't on standby. My ministry ain't on, my race is not on standby. It might seem like I'm sitting still, but the word of God is not bound. And I'm going to be about my Father's business. He said, I'm pressing on. I'm digging in. I'm putting into high gear, man. I can almost see that finish line, and I'm not giving up. I press on. Oh, everybody do that, nothing. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I got some prizes coming for me. I got some good stuff coming for me. But I got the call of God on my life too. And I'm here, and I'm going to be obedient to the word of God. The Apostle Paul had this goal, you know, to preach the gospel and to plant as many seeds as he could, to water as many seeds as he could, to harvest as much as he could, you know, to bring as many people as possible to Jesus Christ. Just as zealous, just as serious and devoted he was to his life of sin, he said, I'm going to be way more devoted to my life of righteousness, serving Jesus Christ. And if you're like me, man, you're a super good sinner. You know, you get bound by something, man. You can't get enough of it until you find something better. You know, but you know what? There's something. Apostle Paul says, that's in the past. I won't forget what I've been delivered from, but I'm not going to let that hurt me or hold me back. Can you imagine being the Apostle Paul and preaching in churches and seeing some empty seats and thinking, oh, man, I think I might have had something to do with those empty seats. Or he's a couple orphan kids running around thinking, yeah, I think I might have got their daddy and mama put in prison. You know, you got to leave the past in the past. You know, I've been forgiven of my past. I've been forgiven of it. God throws it away as far as the east is from the west. So you know the story. If he throwed it away, why we keep bringing it up? Philippians 3:14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Apostle Paul says, I got a goal. And that goal is to just lead as many people as I can to Christ. I caused a lot of damage before. But you know what? I work for God now. And he's making up the time. Okay, so how's everyone doing? This is the time of the service when everybody checks their phones and emails. I'm playing. Don't do that. Don't do it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We don't have slides. But everyone's doing fine. I love you. Hebrews 12 and verse 3. Consider him. The focus is still on Jesus Christ. Consider him who endured from sinners, who persevered through all the trials, all the storms, all the persecution. Consider him, talking about Jesus, who endured from sinners such hostility against himself so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Look at what Jesus Christ went through. And he went through that for me and for you. Consider what he went through and let that give you some energy to say no to this temptation that has bound you for years, that has bound me for years, and say yes to what Jesus wants. And you know what? Well, Matthew 4 and verse 10, we have Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. He's baptized by John the Baptist. Holy Spirit descends like a dove. God the Father says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Right after this amazing thing, he is called to the wilderness where he is tempted by Satan for all these days. Here's Jesus Christ. And I used this preaching years and years ago. I said, you know what, Jesus, temptation was nothing to Jesus. I'm talking about God. He could not be tempted. This was such a weird thing going on here. But no, that's not true. He was 100% God. He was 100% man. And it was his humanity that was being tempted. Does that make sense? It was his, he had to say no to these temptations, and he couldn't just use his God power, you know. He had to say no to these things, and one of the beautiful things about it is he's saying, look, follow my example. Follow my example of how I say no to temptation, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he gives me this example to follow. I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying if you have accepted Christ, you know, we need to feed that spirit, man. We need to get into the Word of God and build ourselves up instead of starving that spirit, man. Okay, Matthew 4 and verse 10, this is Jesus. This is what he says to Satan. Everybody say Satan. Remember the church lady? You guys, never mind. Okay, Matthew 4 and verse 10. What's wrong with him? Matthew 4 and verse 10. Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan. Begone, Satan. Begone, Satan." Sometimes you got to do that, man. You get those bad thoughts in your mind or whatever, those fiery darts. Okay, those fiery darts that are being thrown at you, and when it pops into your mind, that's not you sinning, man. That's a fiery dart from Satan being thrown at you, okay? But you can't entertain that stuff. You said, "Be gone, Satan, I rebuke that nonsense. I'm not going to go down that road anymore. I'm not going to live in bondage to that anymore. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus." "Be gone, Satan, for it is written." For it is written. We're talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, saying, "For it is written." What's he doing? He's saying, "Paul, this is what you do. This is what you do when you're being tempted. This is what you do when you want to get into the flesh. You say, 'It is written.' This is what Scripture says." Well, how in the world do I know what Scripture says? You got to get into it. You got to get into it and let it feed your spirit, man. You know what I mean? But Jesus says, "For it is written." This is what he says. This is so cool. Jesus being tempted by Satan. "For it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" See, that's an amazing statement right there. And that's going to help me out when I want to give somebody a piece of my mind, when I want to cross the fence and do, hey, sometimes we want to do that. And I'm not saying every time there's a right way and a wrong way. Let me say that, you know. But sometimes we want to get in the flesh and we cause a lot more damage than we can do good, you know. And then we got a huge mess to clean up. So I got to go back to "It is written." It is written. It's what God says. And I need to follow this before I create a big old mess that I can't clean up. You know what I mean? "For it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God.'" We don't worship ourselves. We don't worship. It's not about our own pursuit of happiness. You know, it's not about trying to accumulate everything you can accumulate. It's about God, putting God first, following him. Amen. That's what Jesus says. "You shall worship the Lord your God. You shall worship and only serve him." And that's for all of us. That's for us. Okay, who do you serve? You serve the Most High God. You are a servant of the Most High God. You are a child of the Most High God. And like the Apostle Paul said, you know what? "My salvation means something to me, man. It means something to me because I know what I was saved from. I know I was going the wrong way, buddy. I was doing all kinds of bad stuff. I was a dead man walking. I was on my way to hell. And Jesus Christ took hold of me." So you know what? You know what? I don't know how much time I got, but whether I'm behind bars, whether I'm wherever I'm at, man, I'm making the most of my time serving God. And that means I can't slow myself down by weights and sins. Amen, right? Galatians 6 and 9. "And let us not grow weary of doing good." Sounds like Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12:3. "Consider him who endured sinners. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted." And then look at Galatians 6, 9. "And let us not grow weary of doing good." Don't stop serving the Lord just because it's getting hard. Don't stop serving the Lord because it ain't popular no more. Don't stop serving the Lord because the preachers are being made fun of on TV. And we're giving them a lot of stuff to work with, by the way. "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season..." There's a season for everything. You got to plant that seed. Okay, then there's going to be a harvest. But you don't stop doing good. You don't stop serving the Lord. "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap." We will reap if we do not give up. Isn't that precious? Hebrews 12:4. We're almost done, church people. Hebrews 12 and verse 4. This is good, man. I wanted to end with this verse, because it is such a cool verse author of Hebrews. Amazing guy. Love him. And I do find, I don't mean this in a bad way, and it's not bad, but I do see that there is some humor in Scripture. I do see that. And I think that's amazing and wonderful, because this kind of makes my heart smile a little bit when I see this right here. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet. What do you mean there's humor in Scripture? What about, I know I stopped what I was doing. What about when Jesus is talking about the dude's like, okay, don't worry about the little tiny pieces, sawdust in that cat's eye, in that dude's eye, when you got a big old log in your eye. That's not literal, man. That's funny. He's not talking to a dude that's got a telephone pole hanging. Hey, look, Jill, deal with that first. Are you okay? Yeah. Never mind. Okay. And then he just lost it. I don't know. Hebrews 12 and verse 4. In your struggle against sin, because we're in a war. We're in a war. A lot of it's fighting against ourselves, man. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. It's like the author of Hebrews is saying, look, man, if you are hearing this message, you ain't dead. If you are reading this message, you're part of the resistance, brother. If you're hearing this, check your pulse, man. You're still with us, dude. You know? So you still have that time to serve the Lord, whatever it is. You know what I mean? Wherever you're at in life, I don't know where you're at. I don't know where I'm at. None of us know that. But I will tell you this. If you're alive, if you're hearing this message, you ain't dead. So we got time to serve the Lord. Amen. Look at John 15 and verse 18. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted the point of shedding your blood. So we were talking about the great cloud of witnesses. We're talking about Jesus Christ now, who did shed his blood, who did die, but he didn't stay dead. But he had to pay that ultimate price. He died. He died for me. He died for you. Okay? And you know what? This Christian thing, it might cost you something. It might cost you something. It might cost you everything. You know? And Jesus didn't hide that fact. He didn't hide that at all, you know? You look at John 15 and 18. This is what Jesus says. Okay, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. This is what Jesus said. Hey, man, if you're having trouble, you know, people don't like you anymore because of your Jesus fish on the back of your moped. Look, man, they hated me first. It doesn't change the mission. That just doesn't change the direction of the race. You got to keep running that race, man. Matthew 16, 24, we'll close with this. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, if you want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Every single day, daily, deny myself. Does that mean I have to starve myself? No. No, it wouldn't hurt. No. I'm playing. Don't do that. I'm going to get in trouble for that one. I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it, Mama. Okay. But see, okay. Then Jesus, let's bring it back together. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's one of the reasons why I give in to sin. You know, maybe it might be for you too. I'm not very good at denying myself nothing. You know, I'm an American. I'm a Floridian. I like my Amazon Primes. I want my packages here in 2 days or less. You know what I mean? I mean, what an amazing technological advancement that I can order something from across the world. And why does everyone complain about the price of stamps? You know, how much is the price of a stamp right now? Nobody knows, right? Because we don't do them anymore. How much? It's still under a dollar, 67 cents. Look, I can, okay, so here's my pen pal in Point Barrows, Alaska. Here's my pen pal in, I don't know, Montana or something. I write him a little letter. Hey, how's it going? How's the weather? Get a stamp on it. For under a buck, man, he's getting my letter. That's amazing. Anyways. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It's not about you. Not about the price of tea in China. It's not about your stamps. It's about following God, saying, I'm putting him first. He did an awful lot for me. I'll never know what God's judgment feels like. I'll never feel one tiny minute second of hell because of Jesus Christ and what he did for me. So let me serve him with the time that I have left. And let me be the best Christian that I can be. Amen. So a lot about what we talked about today is about the responsibilities of what God asks of his people. And a lot of what we talked about is the wonderful things that God has in store for those that belong to him. I'm talking about things that we can't even begin to imagine. I'm talking about eternal life. I'm talking about forgiveness of sins. I'm talking about intimately growing in a relationship with the creator of the universe for all eternity. And blessings and things that we can't even begin to imagine. But on the flip side of that is eternal damnation. Life and death is set before us. Either you accept what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross, you accept it, or when you deny that, you're saying, I'll do it my own way. I'll get whatever's waiting there for me, I'll get to it my own way. You're not going to like what's waiting for you on the other side. It's life or death, eternal life or eternal damnation, eternal separation from your God, and you don't want that. So if you want to accept Jesus Christ, here is another opportunity. If you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, repeat this prayer after me. Repeat this prayer. If you're like, man, I don't want to talk out loud. I don't want anyone to know what I'm saying. Well, okay, all right. Let's take it a notch. Let's make it a little easier. Say it in your mind, man. Just say it. Say this prayer. Ask Jesus. Just follow me if you want to accept Jesus Christ. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, I know that I am a sinner. I have broken your laws. I ask you, Jesus, to forgive me of my sins and be my Lord and Savior. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you were born of a virgin and died on that cross and rose from the dead. You paid for my sins, and you defeated death. I love you, and I will serve you for the rest of my days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you prayed that, you're a Christian. Oops. If you prayed that and you meant it, you're a Christian now. You've accepted Jesus Christ, so you need to read the Bible. If you don't have a Bible, we'll get you one. You need to read the Bible. Start in the book of John. Just read it. Let it feed you. Spend time in prayer. How do I pray? Just talk to God.